I had prepared a song just in case Miss Alberta weren't able to. So we're going to hold that one for another day, Miss Alberta. We thank you so much. That was a blessing. When he was on the cross, we were on his mind. Now you talking about not having no air. You picked a high song to sing, Miss Alberta. Well, I hadn't tried that song yet because it takes every bit of air I got. But it was such a blessing. Today I want to talk to you about Proverbs. We're going to study in the book of Proverbs a little bit. And I'll tell you that, you know, when I was thinking of, you know, praying and studying, and I told you that I've been in the Old Testament and I've been studying, and so I didn't know exactly. You get this confirmation, or I do, later in the week. I'm studying on it before, and I'm preparing, and I'm getting ready, and I didn't know exactly, and I knew that Proverbs hit me, and I said, well, that's what I want to do, you know, and I feel God had led me to Proverbs, and I didn't know for sure. Well, I got an email from Southeastern Seminary, and one of the courses that I was taking, it had timed out. If you don't do it in so long, it times out. Where you're not able to do, and I just explained to him that, hey, I'm got a full-time job in a church, and it's just hard to fit that in. And so he said, okay, I'll give you another month. Well, guess what my first class was on that it activated back to? It was Proverbs. So Friday night, I knew exactly that this was the right thing to be speaking to you about today. And you said, well, Sammy, Proverbs is so big, but yet it's a book that is of its own genre, is what my professor said, and I would like to use that today. The fact that it's a book that is different than all others because it shares of its teachings and its wisdom and things that we can use in our everyday life. Not saying that other ones we can't use, but there's so many things that are used in the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs is sound sense for successful living. It is so needed today because the late British poet T.S. Eliot said, asked, where is the wisdom we have lost in knowledge, and where is the knowledge we have lost in information? You ever feel like that you just got information overload sometimes? You ever feel like that you're just being overloaded with things and you're saying, how in the world am I going to remember all this? Well, you remember the key points. You remember the main points of the thing. In other words, if I talk much past 12 o'clock, you don't remember any of that. So I have to make sure I get it in before 12 o'clock or we don't listen no more. Ain't that right, Mickey? See, living in an age of instant information. We just, anytime you need something, you go look up on Google, you try to find it. But it's obvious that information has not a birth in the age of wisdom. You see, we don't want to learn anything anymore because we can search it and find the answer just like that now. It's like we don't have to remember that stuff anymore. Our technology has made us dumb, if you will. Many people who are wizards on the computers are just making a failure at life because that's the only thing they know. And I'm not picking on George because he studied on computers, brother. I'm not saying that. See, computers can store data and instantly transfer it anywhere to anyone. You don't have to think. It'll just happen. It'll do it. You push one button and it's done. But they cannot give us the ability to understand it, use that knowledge, and to have wisdom from that. You see, many times we'll read something real quick and we'll click back over it, and you probably can't even tell what that last story was about before you go on to the next one. You say, why is that? Well, I'm here to tell you that Proverbs is about wisdom. And what we need today is wisdom. We need that to guide our everyday life. See, Proverbs is a guidebook that teaches us. And it teaches us how to be wise and live godly lives and how to avoid the pitfalls of the unwise, ungodly behaviors that we have all around us. You know, I was looking up and I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but I was looking up different verses. And I said, well, how many verses or how many sayings or how many things do we actually get out of the book of Proverbs? And it was over 400 different verses that were used inside Proverbs that we can use as motivational sayings or stuff like that as far as just from the book of Proverbs. You don't think that book isn't important? We all need to go back today and start reading that book and listen up on it and get that wisdom from that. It was amazing. I didn't realize so much until I really got in depth with it this week, and that, you know, I learned a lot more. And see, Proverbs is God's book on how to wise up and live. You can't study the book of Proverbs and not get something out of it. The book of Proverbs talks about the, you know, raise up your child away and they won't deter from that, basically. So it talks about raising up a child, but one thing we have to remember is that we can't take that out of context, because our problem is that we'll raise up a child the way we want them to go, not the way they're learning and stuff. We try to get them to learn something, but yet we're teaching them, we try to get them to do something different than what they really have become motivated to do. I'm not saying getting them out of church or anything like that. I'm talking about in their livelihood and stuff. And as they get older, we have just tried to get them to do the things that we want to. We don't let our children go and be adventurous. We don't let them work with their hands anymore. It's all technology. You know, when I was growing up, we stayed out in the yard all the time, and the street light came on. That was our signal that we need to get inside. It's time to get ready for school for the next day, or it's time to come in. Or you'd always hear your mama open the door and say, get in here, Roger Samuel, get in here right now. That was the other one. Yes, Samuel is my middle name. You see, Proverbs, it's God's treasure in the book of wisdom. Turn with me in your Bibles to Proverbs 1, 7. Chapter 1, verse 7. And so there's so many verses that we can talk about today. And as I told you, that there's so many verses that are being used and so many verses that can be used for motivational speakings, for sermons, for whatever. And there are so many different ones out there. Another one is Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. Ever, we've heard that so many times. But as you turn in your book to Proverbs 1, verse 7. Please stand with us as we read God's word. The Bible says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Let us pray. Lord, we're just so thankful for the opportunity that we as Christians are not fools. You see, you define fools as someone who does not believe in you. Someone that has been shown and just does not believe, does not have faith in what you can do. Lord, I pray today that we'll gain that wisdom that we need, Lord, that we become better servants for you. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. So as I said there, fools are not saying, like we use it out of context a lot of times, like saying you fool and you fool this and you fool that and everything. But what fools is talking about is that someone who does not believe. Somebody who's not believing Lord Jesus Christ. Someone who's not believing God here in this part here, because we're still in the Old Testament. And it's saying that is a fool, for one that does not believe. You see, knowledge is good, but there's a vast difference between knowledge, you know, having the facts, and wisdom, applying those facts to life. You see, you can be taught many things, but if you do not apply those, then are no good. You can read the Bible and you can be versed on the Bible. You can know everything about the Bible, but if you do not apply it to your own daily life, then it's no good to you. You get out of the Bible what you put into the Bible. If you push God away, then he can't work for you, because you pushed him away. We have to allow him to be a part of our life. We have to work on making him every day, every essential part of our life, and so that he can work through us. Amen. We accrue knowledge, but without wisdom, our knowledge is profitless. We must learn to live out what we know. The main purpose of this book is to do that. We have to live out what we know. Max Lucado says, Proverbs is a collection of lamps. Lamps that do for your heart what lamps in your house do for your eyes. They chase away the darkness. Proverbs turns on the lamps in the dark corners of life. Time spent with Proverbs makes a heart wise. And it's a practical guide for getting along with God. Proverbs gives a little insight here, so let me talk a little bit about Proverbs. In fact, here in the book, verse 1, it states that the type of literature and its author. So it starts with the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. So we see that Solomon is talking about the Proverbs of Solomon. The word Proverbs relates not only to the title of the book, but also designates the type of book, and it's defined here. Our English word Proverbs is composed of two Latin words, meaning pro, which means before, and for, or verba, which means a word, speech, or saying. So Proverbs means before a word, a speech, or saying. So for a speech or saying. So Proverbs is giving us information, making us wiser. But as I told you before, you're not going to use that. You cannot be wise unless you're actually using them as a part of your life. The Hebrew word mashal gives better insight to the nature of the wisdom saying. Mashal means to rule or to govern, indicating these sayings are reminders of how we should live our lives. These are reminders of how we should carry out our daily lives. Proverbs is in the Bible, so it gives us instruction. They tell us that what life is like and how life should be lived in a brief, no words wasted fashion. Some statements in Proverbs relate to what is commonly observed in life. Others recommend or explain how life should be lived. When advice is given, you should have some type of counsel that follows. You can't just give someone advice without telling them how to go about and do that. That's just the same as accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. We don't do that. I don't do that. You don't do that. As far as that is gone, that person and God has made that decision to allow God to come into them. I don't do anything with that when someone accepts Jesus into their heart, but it's up to us as other Christians to help them, to guide them along, to give them that avenue that they should take. Because someone that is new to Christ does not know. Even someone that is possibly old to Christ may not have been given that instruction. I have printed out, several different Bible verses, beginner reading, things of that nature that I have in my bag. I always carry it with me everywhere because I never know what is going to happen. And when I'm able to share that with someone, I have it. When I'm able to lead someone to Christ, I have that. I'm able to teach them and show them a little bit more. It takes a little bit more than just praying with someone and letting that be done. It takes more than that. We have to give that person, more ammunition, if you will. We have to equip them as soldiers in God's army. We can't allow them to go out without being equipped. Proverbs is a more ancient form of communication, but is not outdated today. You see, it occurred so long ago, but the Bible is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We can use it in our daily lives. We see some of the same things that has happened to us. You see, gems and jewels are neither dimmed by time or outdated by worldly fashion. You see, they even gain more and they become more precious. A queen is adored by an old jewel just as readily as a new one. Today we have become so wordy. We have so many books and our intellects are so far-fetched that we just need to use what Proverbs has given us. We need to dial it back down. We have so many versions and so many things going on out there that we need to dial back down and get to the basics of what God is trying to teach us, what God is trying to show us. You see, one impacting sentence we spread throughout paragraphs. You ever try to write a paper and you just fill in with a bunch of garbage? Any of you that's ever written any papers, you're about to die because you sit there going, how am I going to fit all that into a five-page essay when I could be done in a paragraph and a half? And so now you got to take all that and you got to fill all that in. Well, sometimes our writers have gone through and done that. Just like a message. I think that a message after about 30 minutes, in all seriousness, I've lost you. I don't know where you're at, but you're lost. I haven't stuck to the point of what I'm trying to tell you, so therefore it's lost. So someone that gets up and speak for an hour and a half, I don't know how in the world we're paying attention to them. They're taking a lot of time up. But have we really lost the importance of what that person was trying to say? Teachers tell their students, empty barrels make the most noise. There's also several characteristics of Proverbs here. You know, often they're expressions that stick in your mind and making it easier to recall. Proverbs makes a point and try not to explain the issue. See, it make a lot of points and doesn't quite explain that. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to research and get those answers. They're hard-hitting statements that challenge the reader to make a judgment about himself. The wise and the foolish are side by side. The reader has to find out which he is. Another interesting element of the book is that a number of people it addresses. It's over 180 types of people that are addressed in just the book of Proverbs alone. And they cover a wide range of topics, including youth and discipline, family life, self-control, resisting temptation, business matters, words, and the tongue. You see, the author, though, Solomon, his gift of wisdom. See, the book opens naturally by mentioning the author, as most books do. They start out and they talk about what it's going to be about and who's it about. And the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. Solomon, the third king of Israel, son of the great King David. He reigned during Israel's golden age in the 10th century B.C. Solomon loved the Lord and walked in the statutes of David, his father. That's in 1 Kings. He became a wise and wealthy leader because he was a man of prayer. You see, if our leaders in Washington right now would believe in prayer, if they would believe in what God can do for them, then we'd be a lot better off. A pastor yesterday said we need to wipe out the whole mess of Washington, D.C. and start over. And if Christians got out and voted, I've talked to you before, the numbers of professing Christians, that if Christians got out and voted in the polls, then we could have as Christians anything we wanted. They would never take prayer out of school. They would never tell you that you couldn't have your Bible anywhere you wanted to have it. And if Christians would stand up today, we would have all those things. But he's right. God was pleased with his request. Solomon asked for a discerning heart. And so he gave him great riches, power, and an era of peace. Has God given you peace today? Solomon built a glorious temple in Jerusalem. He was known as the wisest man that ever lived. You see, life gave this man of abundance of wealth, power, beauty, knowledge, and honor. As a king, he wasn't respected only because of his title, but because of what he believed in.
Amen.
I'm okay with people gaining fame, preaching the word or whatever I was talking about. And all, some of y'all might go off the page here, but I was looking at Joel Osteen this morning. And, you know, he was talking about how his dad raised a church, and he started with a church of 90 members. That's usually what he spoke to every day. And then it grew into a mega million church. But he didn't just do that. It didn't happen overnight. He was consistent in what he was doing. He went out there, and so everybody doesn't believe in the teachings of some of these TV evangelists or some of these evangelists we have on TV and stuff, but people are listening to that. The problem would be, let me know if that person is wrong, or you judge if that person is wrong, not that you don't so much like their style. If they're preaching about God, what's wrong with it? Yes, there might be more that you want them to say. Well, there ain't nobody perfect. If you want to say more, you do that. But there's several people that have come to know Jesus because of some of the teachings that we see. Brother David Jeremiah, Charles Stanley, I love them all. I can listen to them. Everybody's got their... John Hagee, Bishop T.D. Jakes. That man will prance around, and I'm telling you what, you'll get a message out of him. Woo! I just love... I mean, I like to hear the different speakings. I like to see the different ways that people bring across a message. And yes, we may get up here, we may say something totally wrong or totally way off, and then that's when you correct us because we're not perfect. But we've been given the ability by God to get up and stand in front of people and share the word. You see, Solomon teaches about wisdom and knowledge, and it is not a replacement for a daily humble walk with God. You got to have that before you can have anything else.
That's right. Amen.
You can be the smartest man on earth. You can be the most wisest man on earth. But if you don't have God in your life, you're nothing. Solomon taught us about his life in Ecclesiastes, and he said there is no proneness to excess, and excess usually leads to a discontent and ruin. But by the grace of God, he didn't. Before speaking of excess and delight, Solomon taught us his wisdom and observation of life here in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs is about wisdom. May we not forget where the great wisdom and inspiration came. And that's from God. No matter what these authors have said, is that it is inerrant word of God.
Amen.
What value you find here does not accredit to instrument. It is not a credit to the instrument, but to the player. Not to the pen, but to the writer. For light comes not from the lamp, but from the spark and the fuel. And picture comes not from the brush, but from the painter. Our life and our use of wisdom comes from the Almighty, our Maker, our God. In conclusion, Proverbs teaches us great lessons of life. It teaches us how to live godly lives. It teaches us how to be wiser today. But if you don't have God in your life, it's impossible. Church, I'm telling you today that if you have not made God number one in your life, don't go another hour without doing it. Don't let the next hour hand fall that we have not made that decision. Proverbs is in our life. Every book of this Bible is made up. It's our map. It's our guiding light, if you will. It's our tool that God has given us to equip us with the almighty double-edged sword, as I heard earlier, that we can go through life. You see, it takes too long, as the pastor said yesterday, to turn it back over. But if it's double-edged, you can go through. Sometimes it takes it. We have to gain the knowledge and the wisdom that it has to provide for us. Let us pray. Lord, we're just so thankful for you, for what you've done for us. You've done for each and every one of us. Our church, Lord, I just pray that with this touching of Proverbs, as we didn't get into it as much as I would like, Lord, as we understand, we've kind of touched the surface, that we know what Proverbs is. We know the purpose of Proverbs now, that we'll take this home and we'll study and we'll get into the book of Proverbs and we'll use the book of Proverbs in our daily lives, our daily walks with you, Lord, that we'll gain more wisdom than ever before, that we'll put this to test in our lives, that we'll use this information that, God, you have given us. We're so thankful for what you do for us. But I pray today, if there's somebody that don't know you, that they come to this altar today. There's no sense in waiting. There's no sense in letting the next hour go along without having you in their lives, Lord. I thank you and I praise you. Amen.